You know, I had a whole different direction. I didn't know where we were going to go today. And I had something that I was thinking, following, and then Friday, it doesn't happen all that often, but Friday, God just completely said, no, let's go this way. And the topic is answered prayer. We've been talking about prayer all summer. And, you know, I just thought, we don't do it enough to just stop and celebrate God's goodness and his faithfulness in answering prayer. And he answers all of our prayers, either yes, no, or not now. But the prayers that we think of as answered prayers are the ones that he says yes to, right? And we have those moments in our lives. And if you're like me, gosh, I confess, I need to write them down because I forget. I mean, there are moments where I go, that was unbelievable. That's a pillar for my faith right now that's going to hold me for the rest of my life. And then the next week, now what was that? You know, I forget. We forget. So, but I just thought today would be a great day to find encouragement in prayer. We all need encouragement in prayer. Prayer is hard. It's hard to talk to somebody that you can't see. But we do. It's relationship. And we talked last week, that's really where it all flows out of, is relationship. So we need encouragement in prayer, particularly that prayer makes a difference. I love Jeremy Jennings with HTB Church in London, England, leads a prayer service every single week there. And at the end of the service, he ends it by saying this, "Thank you for praying. You have made a difference." I think that's huge for us to know. Our prayers matter. And for people in your life, whether they're spiritually struggling, physically struggling, emotionally, financially, or whatever, sometimes you just feel like, I don't know what to do to help them. I'll just pray. That's kind of the last thing. It's actually the first thing. Prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do. And I'm telling you this because I need this reminder myself. Prayer is one of the biggest struggles for me in my life. And it's really more of a discipline than it is kind of, I can't wait to get up and pray. I'm just not like that so much. But once I'm praying, I'm grateful and I'm glad to be there. But it definitely is more of a discipline. There's this great verse. I need to check my time. Okay, we're good. 1 John 5:14-15. I love this verse. Says, and we can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will. And if we know he's listening when we make our requests, we can be sure that he will give us what we ask for. He will hear our requests. He's listening to our requests for anything in alignment with his will. He'll answer our requests. Now, the key on that is, how do we know what's God's will? Well, we don't, but we do the best that we can to pray in alignment with his will, right? And so this is another good quote, and I don't know who said it. I looked and tried to research, so it's anonymous, so I'll just claim it. It's from me. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things that he can change. Little difference there, right? But what a relief. We don't need to contain it. We don't need to hold on to it. We give it to God. By the way, I post all my notes every week on the website along with the audio, so feel free to take notes, but I'll put all my stuff up there as well. And I also love this quote. I've shared it before, but people say, well, how do you know that was answered prayer? How do you know that wasn't just a coincidence? And somebody said, well, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. That's a good way of looking at it. All right, so I thought we'd take a minute. Answered prayers. And I put something up on our Facebook group page. By the way, we do have Good News Church Georgia Facebook group page. It's a private page, and so not just anybody can join it, but it's for this group. Anybody in here, if you say, hey, I want to join it, we'll let you in. But it allows us to interact. It's a group rather than a page. A page is a one-way communication that we do, but the group allows us to interact. And so if you're not a part of that, we'd love for you to do that. But I put that up yesterday and just said, hey, are there any answered prayers that come to your mind that are memorable in this last week, or even over the course of your life, there might be something that you said, man, God intervened in my life in this way, and I'll never forget it. And I thought we'd take just a few minutes and see if there are any that are in this room that you'd be willing to share. This is for mutual encouragement of prayer. Do we have mics? We can walk around. I didn't warn these guys of this. So. Got one over there. One more.
You have time for... Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three short ones.
So yeah.
When Jennifer and I were dating, I went to Atlanta Airport, gave her her first kiss, and then got on the airport and flew to Russia for 2 weeks. When I got there, I was traveling with a guy from our church, and there was a gentleman we needed to meet, but we had no way of getting in touch. We didn't have a phone number. We didn't have an email. We had nothing. This was in 1995. Yeah. So we got out of the airport through passport control. We just stopped for a minute. Me and this other gentleman, his name is Richard, and we prayed. Said, God, would you provide us a way? And we're in the second largest city in Russia. It's a city of over 2 million people. So it's like getting to Hartsfield, Atlanta, and saying, you need to meet somebody in Metro Atlanta. Yeah. We got on the bus to head into the city, and sitting on the front row in the first seat of the bus was the guy we needed to meet. I mean, God answered. I mean, we literally prayed 2 minutes before and got on the bus, and there he was. Second one, 2009, I was out of work because of the Great Recession. All the architects in Atlanta were out of work. Was working three jobs, working over 100 hours a week, and came up to a particular point, and we had like about $5,000 worth of bills due on Monday morning. It was Sunday afternoon, and we had like $10 in our checking account. And guy at our church we were attending at the time saw me, asked me how I was doing. I told him. He said, well, pray. And we had a very quick prayer. And he said, God, I just pray that you give Alex a $500 story. It's a whole nother thing. But finished my shift, changed clothes, got ready for worship, saw another friend. He said, how you doing? I said, told him the truth. He said, wait right here. Walked out to his car, came back, handed me an envelope. And in the envelope was $5,000.
Wow.
And he said, God told me to get this out of my checking account on Friday. I didn't know what it was for, but now I do.
So. That's great. That's great. That's undeniable. Cinda, over here. Hi.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. After Jason spoke to our service that day, we asked a group of our people, Drew and several people, to pray for me for an operation I was about to have. I was about to go through a third time of having cancer. So they prayed. I went to the hospital for the operation. My anesthesiologist walks in the room. He said, I'm here to tell you about what to expect during the surgery. And then as he told me everything that he had to say, he took my hand. Took my hand and he said, our Heavenly Father. I immediately broke down in tears, so did my daughter, because he was praying over me. And he said, please be with Cinda during this surgery. Bless her and protect her. Keep her safe. And he said, let the outcome be as successful as you want it to be. So 24 hours later, I was discharged from the hospital after a major surgery. 3 days after that, we get the results of the pathology report. There was no cancer. I'm cancer free.
God is so good. I battled addiction my whole life. And during the process of this situation, my daughter, she went to Tennessee, and during that process, I didn't see her. I prayed to God what to do instead of confusing her. So when she turned 18, I got back in her life. She's 21 now. She sent me this on Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I love you so much. I'm so happy to have you in my life. I love getting to call you whenever I need to pick me up. I'm glad that we reconnected, and I'm so blessed that we have something so truly special. You're the best dad a daughter could ask for. So when she turned 21 in July, I said, well, what do you want to do? She wants to go to the Grand Canyon. So we're going to Grand Canyon on September 3rd. So God is so good.
Testing. This is kind of a lighthearted one, but Thursday, through the whole week, I'm looking at the weather. I'm seeing there's no rain in the forecast at all. So it's like, what am I going to do? I manicure lawns. So it was kind of like an afterthought. I was praying. I said, oh, by the way, God, could you let it rain? Please rain. So Friday night, I'm working the chains at the Lanier game. And 2 minutes before halftime, it just starts coming down. Not prepared for the rain to come. Didn't think it was going to come.
Well, the rest of that story is they restarted the game at what time? 10:30?
Yeah.
It didn't end until like 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's around 10:30, and then at midnight, the lights are on a timer. The lights went out.
All the lights in the stadium.
So it took another 20, 30 minutes for that to come on. So, yeah, the game didn't end until about 1:15. And I'm lucky to be here because it just messed up my whole sleeping pattern. and I had to work the next day, and I got stung by two yellow jackets.
That's right. Jimmy, right here.
Well, 18 years ago, I started to teach. I guess it was about 18, 19. Anyway, I was going to be teaching in middle school, and all of a sudden, I got diagnosed. They said there's spots everywhere on my pancreas. And I went to the doctor continuously, and he said that I had pancreatic cancer. And I thought to myself, okay, I have 5 years. And that's the most. And my students, this was in public school, were sitting there and they knew what was going on. And one afternoon they called me up. They came over to my desk during bus call and they said, can we pray for you? And I said, oh yeah, I would love it. So they did. And the next doctor's appointment I had, they said, it's gone. So wow. I no longer have it.
Wow. Wow. Here you go, right over here. We'll do maybe a couple more and we'll keep.
This is like 20 years ago, and I just started reading the Bible. And I guess I was probably saved during that time. I don't know. But I told Mom, I had like $50, that was all I had. And I said, I'm giving it to the church. And she's like, don't do that. I'm not paying your phone bill. And she's like, God's not going to make money fall out of the sky. And I said, no, it's all right. I'm giving it to. So I gave the $50. And then Ethan was with us. And my mom, it was a Sunday. We were going to some kind of check cashing place that cash checks on Sunday for him. And I see something flipping in the parking lot. And I ran over and picked it up. And it was a $50 bill. And I ran over and put it in her face. I said, he can't do what? But the other thing I was going to say real quick is that just, you know, like Ethan mentioned about addiction and everything. And I had gone to their house not long ago. I used to live with them. And, you know, it was pretty rough at times. And the house not only got destroyed, but, you know, all of us were kind of out there. And I was asking God not only to clean the house, but clean us up. And I went over there last night. And paint everywhere. I mean, just everything's clean, and you know, people are getting cleaned up. And I remembered that prayer. I forgot I prayed that prayer, and it just it was awesome. So
that's great. That's great. That's great. What great is your faith encouraged that prayer does make a difference? I mean, that's kind of the goal. We'll transition. I'm going to share one. I've got a couple here that I wrote down. I won't share them all. But Kashif Haider is here. A lot of y'all know Cash. Cash goes by Cash. And I'm trying to think. I met Cash because another couple, the church that I was previously at, came up to me and they said, we'd like for you to meet Mumtaz Aziz. He's Indian and he's Muslim, and we met him in the park and he wanted to come to church with us. So they said, we want to introduce you to Mumtaz. I said, okay. So I met Mumtaz. I said, we should get together and have coffee. He said, great. So I go to pick up Mumtaz for coffee. He gets in the car and the first thing he does, hands me his phone. He says, "You must pray for my friend. He has cancer. He has brain cancer. Call him now." And he hands me his phone. His name is Cash. I go, okay, or Kashif. He may have said Kashif. I said, okay. So I called Kashif's phone number, got voicemail, and just told him I was with his friend Mumtaz. And it turned out, so I left him a voicemail, but we connected. And it turned out that Cash, at the time, lived right on the path to where we live in Sugar Hill, from Johns Creek to Sugar Hill, like right on the path. And these guys met Mumtaz over in Roswell. I thought Cash may be way over there, but he was right on my path. And so we developed a friendship, started picking him up and taking him home from church. You know, a lot of Sundays, he started developing friendships and relationships. But the story really is more about the tumor. He had a benign brain tumor, but it needed to be removed. And his situation was such, and Ricky Dill right here and I were working together to try to help him. And it was just dead ends everywhere. No insurance. I mean, his circumstances in life were crazy. He's an engineer. He's a nuclear engineer and had just gotten sort of released from his job and lost the health benefits. And so he was in no man's land to get this tumor removed, and all the doors were shutting. And I told Ricky, and I'd never said this about anything before, but I said, if we're able to get Cash on the operating table to get this tumor removed, I will consider it a miracle of God. I did not think it would be possible. And sure enough, within several months, he was on the operating table, got the tumor removed. God, he's great health right now. So just an amazing story. I know there are a lot more. I will, I've written some down. One I'll share, I've shared it before, but along the lines of Dale's story about rain, you know, God wants us to pray for everything. He wants us to give all of our requests to him, because then when the prayer, when it happens, we know it's from him. And so years ago, I would always have people at church say, they'd stop me and go, "Hey, how can I be praying for you?" And I'd be like, "I don't know," you know? And then I started thinking, I don't want to waste these opportunities. If somebody wants to pray for me, I want to give them something. So I was out walking in the neighborhood and thinking, you know, what are some prayer requests that I can just have ready to give to people? And the three at the time that came to my mind, the first one was, I really want you to pray that my children, if I were to get hit by a train tomorrow, that my children, my legacy would be kindness. Because my kids know that I love them. All of our kids know that we love them. But I want them to know, you know, Dad was really kind. So that's one. The second was just pray for my kids in school. At the time, Grace was in middle school. And public middle school can be really hard. And so just said, pray for our kids. Pray for them in school, that God would protect them and give them friends and all that. And then the third was pray for an Apple Watch. I wanted something that could monitor steps, and I didn't want a Fitbit. I wanted a watch that could, you know, connect to my iPhone, but I didn't have the money for it, and I couldn't justify it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to give it to God and just see what happens. So whenever people would ask, I'd say those three prayers, pray for an Apple Watch. And one evening after a church leadership meeting, a guy comes walking towards me from the other side of the room, just walking towards me. I didn't have a regular relationship with him or anything, and he was carrying a bag from Apple. And he handed it to me and he said, "I heard about your prayer request and I've been praying that God would give me a generous heart." And I thought, this is the perfect opportunity to do that. So I bought this for you, Apple Watch. So, you know, God hears our prayers. He doesn't always answer in those ways. We know that, you know, there are lingering prayers that we have hanging out there right now for health. I know in the room, we're praying for, in, you know, desperation, God, answer this prayer, heal this person, protect this child, whatever it may be. And so it doesn't always happen in the timing that we want it to, but God does hear our prayers. And I'm going to totally skip over. I want you to go to the notes, because one of the best examples of a praying person that comes to my mind is George Mueller in the 1800s in Germany. The guy was unbelievable in how he lifted everything to God. So I'm going to post my sermon notes online. They're not in your guides. But I want you to read about George Mueller. and go pull up a YouTube TV or do some research or whatever. But his stories are just unbelievable. And I hate to skip it, but I don't want to be off on time. So Mueller prayed with such an incredible confidence. I will say one story is he opened an orphanage, had all these kids. He never asked for donations. He's always believed that God would provide. And one morning they needed breakfast. They had no food. They had nothing. And they just prayed. They prayed. And before they knew it, a delivery truck pulled up with tons of food and grain and everything. I mean, a surplus, everything that they needed pulled up and they had breakfast. And then a milk truck broke down right outside of the orphanage and they had to get rid of all the milk because the refrigeration wouldn't last and all that. So they gave them all the milk and they provided everything. But Mueller, the stories are just, he just prayed with incredible confidence, believing that God is going to answer these prayers. He was praying as best as he could in alignment with God's will, and God answered those prayers. And so I read these things and I thought, wow, I sure would love to pray with that kind of confidence. You know, a lot of times it feels like a wish, but we have a God who's gracious, who loves us, and he says, I'll answer your prayers. When they're in alignment with my will. So the next thing here, I came up with 6 conditions for answered prayer. I know there's probably more, but I was just thinking through, what are the conditions for answered prayer? And I was going to have this be a little time of interaction to see what you guys think, but I'll just go through it just to sort of get through here. But the first condition for answered prayer is we have to have a relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. In the Old Testament with Israel, they had a high priest who represented them, and he was the one who represented them before God. Well, now we have a high priest, and that's Jesus. And so he said, you come to me, and we can pray to him and through him at any time, any place. We don't have to go to the temple. We don't have to go anywhere. We can do it right here. So relationship with God through Jesus. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, be fruitful in life, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, that he may give you. So we have to have a relationship with God through Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, not our own name, right? Because we're sinful people. He's our advocate, not us. But we can go to God through Jesus. He's our bridge. The second is that we have to have a repentant heart that's submitted and surrendered to him. When we come to God and we are holding back sin and we're refusing to confess and to repent. And again, repentance is agreeing with God that the sin in our heart and in our life is bad. It's agreeing and then saying, God, help me. You know, it's just submitting and surrendering ourselves to him. It's letting go of the steering wheel and saying, God, I'm giving you permission to do whatever you want in my life. That's a condition for answered prayer. We can't have our cake and eat it too. You know, we can't ask God, we can't have him, you know, do all these good things for us while we're unwilling to let go of the wheel and unwilling to come under his lordship in our lives. 1 John 3:21-22 says, dear friends, if our conscience is clear, we can come to God with bold confidence and we will receive whatever we request because we obey him and do the things that please him. Basically, John, same verse earlier, he says, when we pray for things in alignment with God's will, that's what he's saying. But if our conscience is clear, how do we have a clear conscience? Confession, repentance, faith, believing that there's nothing that we have in our life that's going to outpace God's grace and forgiveness for us. There's not a single thing that any of us in this room have done or will do in our life that is beyond the forgiveness and the grace of God. And he will freely give it to us. And that's such an incredible blessing that he'll take all of our guilt, all of our shame, and Jesus took it on the cross, and he'll give us freedom and joy in relationship with him. So that's the second. So relationship with God through Christ, repentant heart, submitted and surrendered to him. The third is faith to believe that God can and will hear and answer our prayers. Just faith to believe that he'll do it. And as I prayed earlier, that faith comes from God. So when we feel like our faith is weak, listen, everybody in here, faith is weak. My faith is weak all day, every day. And I'm constantly saying, God, increase my faith. Help me. Psalm 34, 17 and 18 says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Do you have a crushed spirit? Are you brokenhearted? God will come near to you in prayer. He loves to do that. That's what he does. That's the kind of father that we have. The fourth condition is we pray for things that are in alignment with God's will. And I've mentioned that a few times, but it's that opening verse. We can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will. And if we know he's listening when we make our requests, we can be sure that he will give us what we ask for. So it has to be in alignment with his sovereign will. And again, we don't know those things. And God's sovereign will includes bad, hard things. It's hard. There's horrible tragedies in this world. They are not outside of God's sovereign will. We can't wrap our minds around that. But wouldn't you rather believe that God can use all things for ultimate good and glory than to believe that there's stuff happening in this world that God is scratching his head going, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. To know that everything that comes into my life, good, bad, and ugly, is filtered through his loving hands is, I think, one of the greatest blessings of being a follower of Jesus. To know that my sufferings matter, God has a purpose in our sufferings. And the Bible talks about that all the way through. It's very clear. So has to be in alignment with God's sovereign will. The fifth condition is just persistence. Don't give up. I know that for a lot of us, there are people that we're praying for years and years and years. It may be a child, it may be a parent, a spouse, a neighbor, a friend. And I mean, if you're like me, I've given up multiple times, you know, and then God might encourage me, just keep praying. And, you know, let's say you're praying for someone or something for 2 days. You're praying for somebody to come to faith for 2 days and they come to faith. You're thrilled, right? God heard my prayer. Wow. Well, what if you're praying for 20 years, a 20-year investment in somebody's life on your knees, and 20 years you're thinking, this is never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Why am I still praying? And they come to faith. How much greater is your joy when that happens? God gets the glory. So sometimes those delayed answers result in just an exponential increase of joy when he answers the way that we're praying. The thing is, we don't know. We don't know. We just have to believe and pray by faith. And so the sixth condition for answered prayer is just God's grace. It's just his grace. He doesn't owe us anything. We are sinful, rebellious people. We're born into this world as sinners. And our bent is not towards God, it's away from God. And any good thing, James says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Every breath that we take is a gift. And I love what Joe said a few weeks ago when he preached about, and I've been praying it almost every day, but the Lord's Prayer about, you know, give us this day our daily bread. When we receive without asking, that leads to entitlement, an attitude of entitlement. Oh, it's owed me. But when we receive after having asked, we have a spirit of gratitude. And you just walk around in life with gratitude. And so, just God's grace. So I'll review just real quick the six conditions for answered prayer. Relationship with God through Christ. He is our advocate. He is our mediator. We have to have somebody who can bridge us to the Father. And Jesus is for every single person on this planet. If there was any other way to the Father, then Jesus would not have died on the cross, right? Who would go through that torture and suffering if there's any other way? If there's another way, Jesus would have said, all right, well, just do that. Let's go that way. Then I don't have to die. But he died for us. He died for all people. so that we could have relationship with God. So relationship with God, repentant heart, submitted and surrendered to Him, faith to believe that God can and will hear us, alignment with God's sovereign will, persistence, and God's grace. So I'll turn to action. Like, how do we put this into action? I'm so excited. A couple of things. We've talked about, we were at Lanier High School last week. We met there, and the principal, Dr. Chris Martin, had mentioned that he'd mentioned to me years ago, hey, the school opens at 5 o'clock. I would love for anybody to come walk these halls and pray. Just pray for our students, our staff, our teachers, or whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't get up at 5 o'clock. So, so I haven't been there. But it hit me the other day. This church sponsors their Longhorn Dad's breakfast once a month. And school starts at 7:15, so the breakfast is at 6:15. And I told Ray, Ray said, I'll lead that prayer thing. And I said, well, here's an idea. How about we do prayer at 5:15 on the same mornings that we're doing the All-Pro Dad or the Longhorn Dad breakfast? Just come in, pray for 30 minutes, and then stick around, help them set up, you know, have breakfast with them, duck out if you need to, whatever. But that's what we're going to do. So once a month, 5:15, Lanier High School, we're going to go pray for the school. And it's a symbolic way of really praying for the community and all of the schools. And just for God to show up and do amazing, wonderful things, just pour out His love and His grace in our entire community. So we'll keep you posted. The next time is September the 20th, Friday, September 20th. We're going to meet at 5:15. If you get there at 5:30, that's okay. If you get there at 5:45, that's okay. If you get there at 6, that's okay. But we're going to be there at 5:15. So that's one. And then prayer for our church, prayer for our community, prayer for our church. A verse jumped out at me a couple months ago. 2 Corinthians 10, 15 and 16 says this. And I thought this really resonates with who we are as a church and what we want to do. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond. That's what we want to do. We want to be a light. Matthew 6, a shining light on a hillside. That's what we want to be. So pray for the church. Pray for these things coming up. This project is probably going to be like $8 to $10 million. You know how much we have in the bank? Not anywhere close. We're like, you know, nowhere close. So we're walking by faith, and it's going to be a for-profit businesses up there. So we're going to be looking for investors as soon as we get all of our architectural drawings and the pro forma and all those things that we need. We'll take it before investors. But this is a huge deal. I was on staff previously at Perimeter Church, and the kind of the motto there was attempt something so great for God that it be doomed to failure unless God is in it. This is that thing. You guys are a part of this. That's a big thing to pray for. And if and when it happens, we will know that it was God. So pray for the church. I'll wrap up by just saying this. Man, this last week was really pretty amazing for me. God did some, and just thinking about answered prayer. Let me think here. One little one on Friday, I was running around because the church also sponsored the pregame tailgate before the Longhorns football game on Friday. So I'm running around going to Sam's and got to go pick up flyers, and I'm behind on time. And I'm driving from the school to the print shop, and I'm like, what's my timing going to be? Because I said I'd be at the school at 5:15. I got volunteers showing up, and I was going to put in my map thing to just find out what's my timing. When am I going to get back? And there was a little voice that said, don't do that. Just trust me. You're going to get there on time. Trust me. So I didn't look. And I pulled up and I was there at 5:15 on the nose. Like, you know, God, the little prayers are big things. He's involved in the intimate details of our life. I will say I have a disappointing update. My Apple Watch... that God granted and blessed me with 8 years ago Micah and I took our dog Joy up to Lake Lanier on Thursday to swim. So Lanier Beach is the only park that I know of that lets you bring your dogs, and she loves to do that. So we're in the water, and I had the thought, you should take your watch off before you get in the water. But I've never had it come off. You know, it's fine. So I'm in the water, and our golden doodle, 85-pound golden doodle, gets in the water, and I'm out here, and she's just like going like this, flailing, coming towards me, and she comes up, and you know, her claws are like so long, and even when they're trimmed, they hurt, but you got to be careful with them. And she's flailing, and she hits my arm, and my watch flies off, and I reach for it in the water, and I touched it, but then I lost it. And she's all over me, like scratching me to death. So I had to pay attention to her. So then the next hour, Micah and I were looking for the watch, and he mostly was looking for the watch. And I took Joy and I went down the other way because she just wants to be wherever I am. And I needed Micah to be able to look. So he's got his mask on. He's looking. We just gave up. And he said, Dad, I was praying the whole time. And I was too. And so, but we had a conversation to say, you know what? God doesn't always answer the way that we want or that we need. And but the thought hit me. It had been 8 years that God had blessed me with that watch. It's funny because I heard, I think Dale McNichol told Steve Trawick that Dale had heard about my story about the God answering prayer for a watch. Dale's a single dad, and he told Steve, he said, hey, I heard Drew's story about an Apple Watch. I'm going to pray ask you to pray that God will give me tickets to take my boys to go see the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Atlanta Falcons in the home opener. They're big Steeler fans. And so Steve's like, all right, great. You know, so Dale followed up with that prayer request. And but the thought that hit me when I lost the watch is that the blessing that was given to me 8 years ago, on the very same day that I lost the watch, I got text messages from a bunch of guys in this church that amounted to about $900. That's enough money. These tickets are $200 each, but it's enough money to buy the tickets for Dale and his boys to go to the Steelers-Falcons game, pay for parking, food and beverage, all that. So Dale, we're going to settle up with you and we'll get that done. So but it's not the end of the story. All right, and I know I got to wrap, and I'm going to wrap. But Friday morning, I went to Lanier High School for the Longhorn Dad's breakfast at 6:15, and in my mind, I thought, I'm going to go back up to Lanier Beach and just see if I can find this watch, and that'll be the last time I go. So I'm in the water at 7:30, and I got my mask on, and I prayed, God, it's yours. You know, I don't know where this thing is, but I'm just going to go look around a little bit. Within 5 minutes, I found it. That's right. So, you know, God, and here's the thing. We prayed like crazy on Thursday, nothing. Friday, prayer, 5 minutes. What does that tell us? I have a story now of God's faithfulness. So it's a story of how I got the watch, and that's a story of how I found the watch. And it's all God, you know? And it's the same story with us. I heard somebody say this. Little Billy made a boat. If you've heard this story, he made a boat, and he loved it. He made it. He put everything he had into it, and he went down, and there was it rained hard, and so there was a little stream going down the sidewalk, and he put the boat in the sidewalk, and the boat took off and it went further than he went, and then he lost the boat. Totally lost the boat. The boat was gone. He was crushed. Several months later, he's walking by a toy store and he sees the boat in the window. That's my boat. He goes in and he tells the guy, it's my boat, it's my boat. My initials are on the bottom. His initials are on the bottom. He's like, sorry, you know, it's mine now. And you can buy it. And so little Billy went and saved up his money, went back to the toy shop and purchased the boat. And he got the boat and he said, this is like us with God, with Jesus. He says, little boat, you are twice mine. First I made you, now I bought you. You're mine. And that's good news for us today. So I'll pray. Father, you are gracious to us. We don't deserve any of your incredible blessings in our lives, but you're so good and we're so thankful. And I just pray that you would wash over us this morning. Thank you for the answered prayers that were shared. It's amazing the miracles that are in this room, and we just need to take more time to listen to them and have opportunities to share what you're doing. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for your goodness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.